knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Emmerich Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan!
Jordan.
Quick question.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot today, Jordan, is I've gotten back to making these buttons for folks.
Yes.
Quite a response of interest
in
these buttons. I'm very excited to get these cranked out and sent out to people. But I've used this also as an excuse to have some like recreational time while I'm sitting around making buttons.
Sure, sure.
And I've been watching a bit of Survivor.
Okay.
When I ran out
new season or old season?
I'm starting at the beginning. When I
500 seltzers.
It's that again, yes. But I'm not putting a time frame on it.
Sure, sure, sure.
When I ran out of episodes of The Tick, I realized, well, I've got this Amazon Prime account now.
Sure, sure.
I've never had access to whatever is on here. What's on here?
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, I loved season 2 of Survivor when I was a kid.
Sure.
And I liked season 1 too, but season 2 stuck out in my head.
Okay.
As like being really great. And I watched a couple other seasons, but I missed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I missed a ton. And I really am curious, where did it fall apart? Like, because I know that everything got too complicated.
Sure,
everything is,
sure.
It's just a total mess.
Yeah.
But it was good, I think. And so I started rewatching from the beginning. And so far, I have not gotten to where it's terrible.
Yeah.
I'm in season 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about it nonstop. I have.
Wait, you already watched season 1?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
Well, I'd started a little bit before.
Gotcha.
But I have so many thoughts about all of this. Like, first of all, season 1 is amazing.
Okay.
It's a very well done show.
Okay.
There's an earnestness to it that like there's a recognition that what they're doing is a little bit goofy.
Sure.
But they mean it.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
It's sincere.
Right.
And very nice. Season 2 is a little bit, it's a little bit of a departure. There's a little bit less of that genuine curiosity.
Sure, they're having a sophomore slump.
Well, I think that they're too obsessed with alliances.
Yee!
Like, the first season really wasn't that, like, everyone being like, ooh, who am I gonna,
sure,
who,
yeah,
who
yeah,
am
yeah,
I
yeah,
gonna
yeah.
team up with?
Yeah.
And season 2, it's just like, it already is jumping into that.
I'm going to throw this out.
Outrageous.
I'm going to throw out my theory on when it really goes south.
Sure.
When people get too aware of the metagame.
But I think that's season 2.
Already.
Yes.
Already we're too aware of the metagame.
I think that there's a lot of conversation.
It's like a sabermetrics kind of thing later on where everybody's we've watched all of these seasons. We know how to plan for this.
Uh-huh.
I know what move is the right move based on what happened in season 3 or whatever, you know,
kind
of thing.
Yeah. I think that that is beginning to happen already in season 2.
Wow.
Maybe it's not overwhelming, but it's very different than the kind of conversations they were having in season 1.
Yeah.
I can say that for sure, which I didn't realize.
Wow.
And then the other thing, too, was that watching it back, I haven't watched any of these sets. Like, I mean, what would it have been? Like, this is pre-9/11 stuff.
Yeah. Straight up.
I think that
we're on, like, season
2000.
Yeah, we're on, like, season 30 now or
40.
Something? 40! Get the shit out of here!
Yeah.
So, goddamn!
So I was, like, 16 when season 2 was airing. 16 or 17.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I remember watching it, and, like, I had various feelings about various cast members. And re-watching it, one of the things that really stuck out to me... Well, there's two things.
Sure.
First, Elizabeth... I really liked Elizabeth Filarski.
Okay.
She was great. And I realized rewatching it that I liked her because she reminded me of the girls that I had a crush on in church.
Okay, all you know, right.
She was a really sweet kind of
sure.
meeting to church.
Yeah, it only
makes sense that she became a right-wing pundit.
Well, that does track.
Yeah.
That is how it goes.
Like, yeah, this tracks.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I didn't realize watching back is that there was this guy, Michael, mm-hmm. who fell into the fire and ended up getting evacuated, got airlifted.
Yeah.
And when I watched it when I was younger, he seemed like such a leader. You know, he seemed like somebody who was like, you know, he's outdoorsy. And watching it now, I was like, this guy's a fucking creep. This guy's a total weirdo.
It's so weird.
He sucks.
So weird how time works.
Yeah, and I had a very negative response to him watching it. And I was just looking up, hey, where are these people now? Turns out he got arrested for running a Ponzi scheme. And in the process of the investigation, they found child porn on his computer.
Oh, man.
And so I was
there we go. Whoa, boy.
Yeah.
I've always dreamt of Survivor being more like those early years of Sasuke, the ninja warrior. Just because, like, they would make a huge deal of, like, this is our 25th season, and there's only been one person who made it to the top of Mount Midoriyama.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've always wanted Survivor to be that, where it's like, we're on season 40, two people have survived.
Yeah.
You know, like, everybody
else. There should
be
some kind of a prestige. Like,
yes.
There's not a guaranteed winner.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think in order to do that, you'd have to really risk people's health.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, the only other solution is like 28 people died this year on Survivor, so that might be tough.
That was the other thing, too, that going back, I was taken aback by, is like in the first season, there is not a lot of problem with food. Like,
yeah.
They have a ton of rice.
Sure.
They're totally fine on rice. Richard is out there fishing. Mm. He's catching all kinds of fish. They have rat traps that they've created that just eating rats.
Yeah.
And it is not a problem. And then in season two, it's a bit of a problem, but it's only a problem because they misrationed the rice. They would have had rice that would last them the entire season. It's like, I feel like that takes away from this being about surviving.
It's so funny just because I remember reading this huge, like, oral history of Kid Nation or whatever that MTV reality show was where they put a town of kids and they're all like 30 kids and they're all like 12 years old.
Yeah.
And the oral history behind it was they built a functioning society and the producers were like, we were going for Lord of the Flies, but in real life. Mm-hmm. So they were the ones fucking everything up for these kids.
Oh, sure.
And the kids are constantly like, we've got garbage pickup. Why are you guys throwing garbage around?
Oh,
we have
awesome.
A system, you know? And it's so funny to me that they can build like we're rationing appropriately and then adults do it on a reality show and they're like, I want all the food.
Yeah, there was also like real fingerprints of weird manipulation that I didn't recognize watching it initially. Like there's like levels of awareness of what's going on at the other camp that like people shouldn't have.
Oh yeah.
And so it's like producers are talking to
these
people. It was a little bit like, all right, I see through a little bit of this more. But anyway, it's fun and I'm excited to see where it really falls apart because it's still entertaining. At this point. I'm guessing by like season 7 or something, it's going to be a disaster.
My aunt, before she died, watched every season of Survivor. She loved it so much. She watched Survivor and Big Brother. Mm-hmm. Those were the two for her. And I just remember watching, like, I think it was like season 23 with her and just going like, how do you not want these people shot into the surface of the sun? And she was like, that's why I watch.
That's why you watch. That's part of why you watch.
And then
you also pull for some people. That's another thing. Look, we've talked about this too much already, but last point I want to make is that the experience that I had watching season one is that I liked both of the tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And in watching season two, I was like, I don't like either of these tribes. I don't like any of this, which is weird.
That's fair.
It's not definitely not how I experienced it as a youth.
Ah.
Anyway, we'll talk more about this as it goes along, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But Jordan, what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is Tyler, the Creator's new album.
Oh, fun.
Released, I think it was Friday. Fantastic.
Mm.
Absolutely fantastic. His last album, Scumfuck Flower Boy, I think, was more of an R&B album, almost like a Frank Ocean album. And this one, he gets right back to just doing straight up hip hop and rapping, and he's so good.
Oh, that's great.
He's so talented.
Sure.
It's amazing.
Mm.
Especially his career arc. Can you imagine being like 14 years old and then becoming what he becomes?
Yeah, it's
like,
pretty weird.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Look forward to an oral history of that one day.
Yeah, that'll be great.
I'm sorry to not spend 10 minutes on your bright
spot. It's fine. It's just a good it's just a good album.
Yeah, it's just good, whereas I have complex thoughts about...
I could have complex thoughts, but they might be very boring.
They could be. Something that will now be boring, Jordan, is our episode today. We're going to be talking about June 24th, 2021, Blackjack.
Oh, shit, we're doing a present-day episode? Yep. I thought we were going into the past. Ah, I wasn't even prepared for it.
We are doing a present-day episode because I wanted to give Alex a chance to have a more developed conspiracy theory about John McAfee's death.
Yeah.
On our last episode, we talked about his special report, his emergency broadcast.
Shitty.
Was not compelling, but, you know, let's give him a shot.
Your game.
Let's see what's going on the 24th, Thursday. And so we'll get down to business on that, but before we do, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
That's a great idea.
So first, Rob Thor, thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. Next, Danger Boat is my spirit animal. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. Danger Boat is my spirit animal.
Thank you. Next, Porch Slop. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Porch Slop.
Thank you. And Jana Banana. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Jana Banana. I like a good Jana Banana.
Sure. And finally, all podcasters are millionaires. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Yep.
Yep.
Basically 49ers out here.
Sounds right.
There's gold in them, their pods.
You can't even start a podcast without getting $1 million.
No,
they just throw it at you. Whoa, you want to start a podcast? You got to be a millionaire.
Yep. So, Jordan, also, got to get heavy before we get to the episode.
Life is...
Giving someone life is giving someone death. You could say that life is death.
Yes, you can.
What's fun about that clip is, honestly, every time you play it, I could see it being on a modern-day episode. Like, he just says that exact same thing every new episode we do. June 24th, 2021. All right, here's an out-of-context drop.
He hasn't said it as much, but there was a little stretch, like a week or two ago, where he was articulating that thought quite a bit.
Nonstop.
Cade has got a golden birthday coming up. Your golden birthday, you know, that's when you turn the age of the day. And Renee Lynn reached out and wanted us to wish Cade a happy golden birthday. On my golden birthday, I was 24, and that's when I started doing stand-up, and that was a mistake. Hopefully, Cade, actually, it's not a mistake. It's led me where I am today, but...
That's fair.
Anyway, I hope you have a good one, Cade.
My golden birthday was 8, and it started me doing stand-up, and
Ryan H., a.k.a. Rick's got a birthday coming up. Ashley wanted us to wish old Ricky boy
a happy birthday, Rick.
So happy birthday. Also, is a sandwich.
Rick! Yeah, sorry.
Is a sandwich.
Is a sandwich.
Yeah, also has a birthday.
All right.
Happy birthday, is a sandwich.
Is a sandwich. Happy birthday.
Andrew in Kansas. Now, this is
not Andy.
No, Andrew.
Okay.
This is important. Birthday and a wedding coming up.
Ooh.
And there's a very important request.
Mm-hmm.
And this was not guaranteed. I checked in on it, and Celine does give her blessing to the union.
Oh, that's nice.
So, yes, there was a chance that Celine would be like, nah.
Nah. Do you know what Hallmark says is a good wedding gift?
What's that?
Office furniture.
No, you have to be together 40 years. Also, Ren and Joe, they have a newborn named Winry. And we'd like to...
I like a good Winry.
I'd like to congratulate...
Is that a Full Metal Alchemist? I think that's a Full Metal Alchemist reference right there.
I wouldn't know if it was.
Ah, that's fair.
But Kev wanted to wish this new baby a welcome into the world.
Welcome to the world,
and a congratulation to Ren and Joe. Although, unfortunately, to give life is to give death.
To give death, so good luck, Winry.
So, let's get into today's episode, Jordan.
Yes.
Today, we have... an out of context drop.
Imagine if I came on the show, I was like,
I don't have to imagine.
Really don't. That's kind
it
of regular.
Bit, yeah, quite a bit.
That's a nonstop thing, I would almost argue.
Pretty de rigueur. So, Alex starts the show, and thankfully, like, sometimes you jump in and you're thinking, like, is he going to talk about the thing that I'm interested in?
Sure.
Namely, McAfee.
Right.
And sometimes he doesn't. In this case, thankfully, he does.
Well, we've got the red emergency radar scan background up, and that means one thing. Patriots are being assassinated. It was just 10 days ago or so that we talked about the very famous Emmy Award winning, was it Grammy Award winning for TV news, individual who had exposed the tarmac meeting with Bill Clinton and then Attorney General Loretta Lynch, who said they were death threatening him and trying to kill him, and that he would never commit suicide. That he would never commit suicide. And then he was found shot in the head inside his home alone, a happily married man with two children. We'll be revisiting that here in a moment. Well, now we have John McAfee, who I knew very well, probably been on the show 20 times. We haven't talked to the last few years because he was in a Madrid jail awaiting extradition to the U.S.
Is that the only reason?
He said last week, I'm getting threats from the U.S. government that they will suicide myself. They will kill me.
On our last episode, when we discussed the immediate coverage of McAfee's death, I was trying to stress how important it is to understand this story in the context of Alex's coverage of the death of Christopher Sein. Because Alex had laid the groundwork for a narrative arc about political assassinations when he talked about Sein, he was prepared to tell this exact story no matter who ended up dying and regardless of how suspicious the circumstances of their death really were.
Totally.
If Alex lucked out and a high-profile person who he's sort of associated with died not too long after Sein's coverage, we would be seeing the outcome that we're seeing now. If no high-profile deaths fit the bill, Alex could easily, you know, just get away with pretending he never made a big deal out of Sein's death and, you know, pretending that it was a professional hit.
Yeah.
You can really tell how dishonest Alex's coverage is because of the intentional misreporting he's doing surrounding these two cases. For instance, Christopher Sein, as far as I can tell, never said that he wouldn't kill himself, and the comment that he was getting threats, that came from a Fox interview from February 2020, and he was specifically talking about threats that had come, quote, shortly after breaking this story, which is to say back in 2016.
Yeah.
He never specified who the threats were coming from, and it could have easily been from mentally disturbed pro-Clinton or anti-Trump individuals completely disconnected from the two politicians. There's no reason to jump to the conclusion that it was fucking Hillary making the threats.
Yeah.
Alex has distorted this to fit his narratives because in InfoWars world, anytime anyone dies by a suspected suicide who he wants to paint as the victim of a murder, the same script is followed. Alex has to fudge the details of this case so it neatly fits the archetype that he's already established with past cases. Also, Sein had three children, and many of the details of his life that Alex is getting wrong are just things that Alex is assuming and making up.
Yeah.
The same dynamic exists in the coverage of McAfee's death. Some of the details that are just completely wrong include that McAfee hasn't been in jail for years, and he wasn't in jail in Madrid. The jail he was in Barcelona. More importantly, though, is Alex is lying about the timeline of McAfee's statements. The tweet that Alex is referencing, where McAfee said he was, quote, getting subtle messages from U.S. officials, was posted on November 30th, 2019. The tweet where he said he wasn't going to kill himself was from 8 months ago. Alex needs to take these tweets and make them a lot more current than they are, because in reality, there are completely rational explanations for them that have nothing to do with the notion that McAfee was the target of a globalist hit squad. By combining these sentiments that McAfee has shared in the course of the last few years and pretending he said them just before he died, Alex is trying to create a persuasive fiction to sell his audience on. And that fiction is exactly how Alex has started the show. The point and the message is that the globalists are entering the part of their endgame where they're going to stage high-level political assassinations of their patriot enemies. This mentality is so dangerous for Alex to be playing around with, since it's one of the things in the past he said is a sign that the cold civil war is going hot, and that it would be very easy for his listeners to take this as a sign that it's killing time.
You've already got your list. I've told you to get your list out there. Now it's time to enact the plan.
Ethically speaking, this is yelling fire in a crowded building. No matter what the outcome is and whether or not anyone gets hurt, this is just reckless, endangering activity.
Yeah.
And it's fine to yell fire when there is a fire, because there's a fire and people,
right,
you know, you can help them avoid the fire.
Right.
But in order for Alex to metaphorically create the appearance of a fire here, he has to lie about multiple details of these two men's death. This isn't someone responsibly covering the facts of a situation. It's someone lying about reality to suit his purpose, which is making money, not caring at all who gets hurt in the process.
Yeah.
He's a real piece of shit.
It's almost like whenever I used to work customer service, you'd have those macro responses, these pre-written responses. It's almost exactly like when McAfee died, he was almost like, boom, Mad Libs, I'm already ready. I've been doing this for 20 years. Yeah. I've got this pre-written.
Yep.
It's like, fuck off.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. When I worked in telemarketing, you'd have those rebuttals that are like, well, I can't afford this. Well, Lord, if I told you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Same shit.
Yeah, it is. It's sort of a branching path that he already knew was going to go down.
Yep.
So one of the interesting things about McAfee's death that isn't actually interesting, but some people on the internet are having fun with it.
Hey!
Is the idea that he had a dead man switch. Alex has found it.
Oh!
McAfee basically, as you already know,
digital Dropbox.
Being found dead yesterday. Pretty amazing. And he said he had a dead man switch. We have found the dead man switch buried in a crypto wallet. And we're going to be talking about that coming up here on the transmission today.
Alex didn't find shit. This is all made up. It doesn't look like McAfee actually had a dead man switch set up, because the way he's described it has failed to become a reality at all. He told an interviewer that he had a twice daily check-in switch, so if he ever missed any of those check-ins, the dirt would all be sent to the media. That's not the same thing as him burying something somewhere in a bizarre and complicated crypto maze.
Are you telling me that John McAfee is so aware of time that he's never... John McAfee has never missed a date.
He's never been drugged out.
Yeah, exactly.
Hungover. What's actually going on here is that after McAfee's death, someone posted an image on his Instagram, which was just a big Q.
Right.
After this happened, QAnon folks started speculating that the image contained a key to a cryptocurrency address.
Sure.
And that's where all the goodies were.
Great.
This was made up out of thin air and completely not true.
Of course.
There's metadata on the picture, but from everything I've seen about the situation, it's not a crypto key. As is so often the case, Alex is just taking bullshit he or his staff read on a conspiracy blog or message board, pretending that he got it from some kind of investigative process or imaginary high-level source, and he's trying to pass off a sanitized version of it to his audience. This is essentially Alex's role at this point. He finds dumb shit on the internet and tries to launder it to the point where it can pass as a story he can pretend to report. Inevitably, this dead man switch will fail to materialize, and Alex will probably say that the globalists somehow recouped it or something. Then there's going to be this great MacGuffin out there. We could totally prove all of our conspiracies are true if only McAfee's dead man switch hadn't been re-seized by the globalists or whatever.
See, this is the problem with the internet's conspiracy theories. They don't know how to have fun with it. Here's what you do. You don't have any evidence that this isn't the case. Say that they found trace evidence of John McAfee's dick in his own stomach. Then everybody's like, God, when they pull a human leg out of a shark's stomach, and everybody's like, well, I guess he actually followed through with it.
A man before of his word.
The man, he had one thing left to do on this earth, and that was eat his own dick. Mm-hmm. So it's been done.
Yep. So this isn't the only news story of the day. There's also talk of Fauci doing COVID.
I'm sure.
Dovetails with a smoking gun yesterday that Fauci, 1 month before the COVID outbreak, told them prepare to activate their COVID-19 vaccine program with those exact sequences. Understand? Total premeditation, total complete open and shut case. Everyone involved is lucky if they end up in a supermax prison for the rest of their lives.
I decided to play a little game with this drop.
Okay.
I was going to treat this story as if I was just a listener of Alex's show. Like, what would I know about this story from the information that he's presenting?
Okay.
At this point, I guess that a month before the pandemic started, Fauci directed someone to begin working on a vaccine that's mysteriously a perfect fit for COVID-19.
That's mysterious.
And this is being presented as definitive, open and shut proof that there was premeditation with the development and release of the virus. I have not heard this, so I'm going to eagerly await Alex telling me more about it. He doesn't.
Oh, well, that's surprising. Yep. That seems like a big story.
He ruined my entire game by not explaining this.
I'm going to act like Alex's listener.
Yeah.
And you got the real experience.
Yes.
Which is to say, a bunch of bullshit and you have no idea why or where.
I got a conclusion, but
yes.
I have no idea about the story.
I don't know where to start.
Yeah. So back to McAfee. McAfee.
A good friend of mine, a really smart individual, a true American rebel, John McAfee, died in his jail cell in Barcelona, Spain, at 75 years of age in good health, after he had just warned the world a few days before that they're threatening to kill me, the U.S. government is, and claim it was suicide. He said, I will not commit suicide. And I believe him. We've seen a lot of suicides lately of people that challenge the Clintons and others. And McAfee has definitely done that.
Oh, it's the Clintons.
A lot.
Called it. Called it.
Oh, boy.
My immediate response when my friend texted me about this was somehow Hillary.
Yeah. Of course it was Hillary.
I got bingo.
Of course it was. Also, I mean, the one thing that I would expect from John McAfee is the day before he killed himself to claim that he would never kill himself. Like, while he's planning how to do it.
But even so, all of the stuff that Alex is talking about is old tweets that he's pretending
happened
a week before.
Exactly. I'm just saying
that's still even a lie.
He's not trustworthy.
No, he is not. Neither is Alex, because now McAfee is his best friend or something.
Oh, of course.
This is ridiculous.
This is like when somebody in your high school dies and the most popular kid is suddenly like, I was their best friend. Please, everybody feel bad for me. Mm. Like, oh my God, you're evil.
So Alex plays a little clip here of McAfee talking about the deep state. And I have some thoughts about this.
Let's hear him from the grave a few years ago talking about the political process on this planet.
The deep state is a conspiracy theory of it's defined as the people within the U.S. government or military who are in secret control of government policy. Secret? Please, people. The deep state is those people within the U.S. government that are career employees that cannot be fired by people that we elect, by the Congress or the President. There are the FCC, the CIA, the Securities and Exchange Commission.
All of whom can be fired.
The IRS. Are these people in control? Can they enact laws?
No.
Yes. They're called regulations.
I understand that McAfee is a real hard-nosed libertarian and they hated nothing more than government regulation.
Regulations!
But what he's saying here is just idiotic. Apparently the deep state is these government employees who can't be touched no matter who we elect. These people include, according to McAfee, the CIA, the SEC, the FCC, and the IRS.
And every single person who has headed those agencies for the past 10 years has been fired.
Well, there's a little bit of nuance to it.
Sure, I know.
The CIA is headed by the director, who is nominated by the president, who we elect, and is confirmed by the Senate, who are elected. The CIA director reports directly to the Director of National Intelligence, who is nominated by the president, who is elected, and then confirmed by the Senate, who are elected. If the president, who is elected, so chooses, they can replace either the CIA director or the Director of National Intelligence. I guess it would probably be improper for the president to fire an individual CIA employee, but through the chain of command, if there was a specific legitimate direction the president wanted to take the organization, they could do that by picking a new director.
Some asshole is just data entry and all of a sudden they get a tap on the shoulder. The president fired you.
Yeah.
No reason. He just wanted to see if he could.
Obama thinks you're a dick.
Alex told him that he couldn't do it, and it turns out, he can.
The SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission, is run by a board of commissioners who are appointed by the president, who is elected, and confirmed by the Senate, who are elected. They're put in for five-year terms. When he was running for office, John McCain threatened to fire the SEC chair, which sparked a conversation about whether or not he actually could. It seems a bit unclear whether a president could fire them without congressional approval, but it would be a really big deal to try to remove one of these people.
Sure.
The SEC is supposed to remain very independent, seeing as they're tasked with dealing with market manipulations, so it would be best not to allow people like a president to be in the position where they could fire them without a really good reason.
It's almost like for retaliation towards, let's say, one of their super rich friends. That might be something that you would want the SEC to be independent of.
Yeah, it's something that you'd really need to try to create safeguards against the appearance of impropriety.
Yeah.
And so a president willy-nilly firing an SEC commissioner would be
I mean, imagine if you were a senator with early information that a pandemic was coming and you sold all of this stock before everything happened when it was still at a higher value. That's something that the SEC would investigate and take care of if they were an independent organization, as we all know they are.
Mm. The FCC is run by a board that is appointed by the president, who's elected, and confirmed by the Senate, who are elected. This is also an agency that's meant to be independent, so it's widely understood that a president could not just randomly fire an FCC commissioner. But an interesting article from 2014 in Politico brought up a way that a president could still work to shape FCC policy. While it's accepted that Obama could not fire the FCC chair if he disagreed on policy, Zephyr Teachout made an argument that he could still remove the chair from that position and replace them with one of the other commissioners. This would keep the same board intact, but still shake up the power dynamics. So while there's good reason that a president should not have the sole authority to mold independent agencies to their will, there's still things that can be done to effect change. The IRS is run by a commissioner who's also appointed by the president, who's elected, and confirmed by the Senate, who are elected. I've seen some arguments that suggest that a president can actually fire the IRS commissioner, and a lot of conservatives are really pissed off that Trump didn't do just that during his term when John Koshkin was in that position. Similarly, there are now calls for Biden to fire Charles Rettig, who's the most recent person to fill the role, being appointed by Trump in 2018. Neither commissioner was or has been fired, and the reason, again, is probably that doing something like that requires a really strong justification, or else it'll just look like severe corruption. The idea that the government is secretly run by these unelected people is a popular refrain among folks like McAfee, but it fails to take into account that each of them serves at the pleasure of people who are elected, and the choices that are made in elections can have a drastic implication on any one of these organizations.
One of the big failings of our government is that Trump appointed an incredibly corrupt person to run the IRS, and then it would look like corruption if you just fired them. And it's like, Jesus, there's just no escape.
It's not how you would want it to be.
It's not the best way to go.
Yeah. It's unclear what level of elections and how, like, IRS... the middling management or whatever that need to be elected.
Right.
What level of it would satisfy McAfee's complaint? And the reason that it's confusing is because it's not a real complaint. He just doesn't like regulation and government.
And he doesn't want to pay taxes.
And it's a fine position to have, but the framing of this argument is totally dishonest.
Yeah, if you're being like, oh, they're unelected deep state people, we should reform it, but your actual plan is like, hey, we should just burn down the IRS forever, and the building is gone, and the government's gone, and just get rid of all of it. Don't frame it like you want it better.
Yeah, I mean, like, the point that you're making about, like, corruption still existing within even organizations that are intended to be independent,
of course,
is very fair.
Yeah,
but it's a different complaint,
totally,
than the complaint that McAfee is bringing.
McAfee and I are not in agreement.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, you know what else you're not in agreement about?
Just about everything.
Your resumes.
Oh.
And I'll give you the inside scoop on Mr. McAfee, because I've got a good idea exactly who he was, what he was doing.
He
was a mercenary, and he did work for a lot of the different spook agencies, including the CIA, including NASA, and including shadow government groups even above that. He was definitely
NASA,
part
a spook agency?
Of the scientific dictatorship for a while. He was recruited into it as a young man because he's off the chart intelligence level and good looks. He had it all.
What?
And the rest is a history. They killed him deader than a hammer.
So what's the agency you think that he was in that was above the CIA? Aliens, probably?
I would have to go with aliens.
Yeah, it's got
to
be aliens.
Unless the aliens are the ones who have negotiated the treaty with the aliens, in which case I guess they're kind of a co-equal branch of universal government.
I'm excited for Alex on a very, I mean, I mean this sort of facetiously, but McAfee is somebody who Alex can make up so many stories about.
Oh, yeah, totally.
He can have a field day.
I would buy most anything, right? You can't exaggerate a story that he couldn't have done.
Yeah. It's almost the ideal person for Alex to have die, because
totally.
Now you can take total control over the narrative.
Yeah.
He was one of my best friends.
McAfee was D.B. Cooper. Let's do it all, man.
Can you imagine how many things Alex can make up that McAfee told him in conversations?
Totally.
And stuff? I couldn't say it before because he was alive and I'd betray his trust.
Anything.
But now I gotta spill the beans.
Yeah. McAfee created a backdoor in all of the government systems that if you press a button, it will shut down everything.
The dead drop is going to be Alex's imagination. So
if McAfee doesn't tweet three times a day, Alex will claim that he's killed everyone.
Yeah. So Alex, you know, it's just he's overwhelmed. He's polaxed, you might say.
Oh.
So let me just try to process this for you. The reason I'm going to be covering things the way I am here today, because I am polaxed. Trying to really cut to the heart of the matter. So let me just put this out now. There comes a moment when the tyranny really launches its full attack that all the window dressing falls away. And you learn more in a day than you learned the previous year. And we're in that zeitgeist, that quickening, that acceleration, that revelation, that apocalypse, meaning apocalypse of old ideas dying, new ideas coming forward. And we're really seeing the death throes of the old world order that calls itself the New World Order, wanting to control the future of humanity. Everything they say is an inverse. They say they're the New Age, they are the Dark Age.
So do you want a New World Order?
I think that's what he's saying. We don't want the old world order to be the new world order. We want a new world order to be the new world order.
I just grow weary of listening to this over so many different time periods and Alex constantly saying, you learn more in a day than you did in a year.
Hey.
At so many different times. It always seems to be like everything is intensifying now. Alex is the voice of the person who's like, this is the most important time in history ever.
Every
day. That feeling that every generation has.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Nobody thinks the world is going to exist after them. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a certain solipsism to every generation.
Yeah. And that is kind of just so standard on Alex's broadcast style. It's annoying.
Yep.
So about a year and a half ago, it was declared over for humanity. There would only be lone survivors.
Yeah. And that happened.
According to Mike Adams, the health ranger.
Can't argue with the truth.
Apparently, vaccines are killing everybody now.
I don't know anybody who has gotten the vaccine and is not dead.
Alex makes a bold prediction about what the world will look like in a year.
Is it over for humanity?
It feels like it might be.
Okay.
They've already started the mass culling. I mean, we're going to have, I bet, 20 million extra dead people in a year. The numbers are already showing that. I mean, it's an apocalypse in America alone. Hundreds of millions worldwide, and this is just the start. So the question is, how far are we going down this hell before we wake up? It's all coming up today.
So in a year, I guess we'll check back in and see if 20 million additional people are dead in the United States from vaccines and such. And then we'll consider all of the people who are like, you gotta just, you know, how often is Alex right about stuff?
Every time.
We'll
see. He's been right about it being a summer of rage.
Every time.
It's over for humanity.
The dollar is about to collapse.
Gold is the only thing to buy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think he's been right.
Obama is going to declare himself king.
That's true.
He's going to use the FEMA provisional government to bring in a Muslim caliphate.
Everybody's
going to
become
States.
Dukes after the government falls.
Well, to be fair, that was Larry.
That's true.
Alex
was
just
Larry.
Agreed with him.
Yes, that wasn't a, yeah. That wasn't an Alex original.
No,
that's
no.
True.
Yeah. They're bringing in ballots from North Korea.
That one was true. Though.
Into the
that
into,
one it
into
got
the
to Maine,
North Atlantic
it
region.
It got to Maine
mm-hmm.
through the Panama Canal, and nobody checked a North Korean ship.
Sure.
Yeah.
These the things you hear on Alex's show are more right than wrong.
That sounds true. That sounds true.
20 million additional deaths in the United States. We'll
Man.
See.
He just can't even moderate the, you know, it's over for humanity. I mean, I guess 20 million is a conservative number after it's over for humanity, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, lone survivors versus 20 million.
Yeah,
guess.
There's still 310 million people left in the States.
It's a de-escalation on, from that.
It's a de-escalation in some ways.
And it's also going to ramp up a little bit later in the show.
Sure.
Maybe more than 20 million.
Sure.
It's just one of the few times Alex has made a specific number.
Yeah.
So we'll check back in on that in
Let's
a year.
Let's see how long it lasts.
So Alex talks a little bit more about Christopher Sein, mm-hmm. and he gets some of the details about this guy wrong.
Just 11 days ago, I talked about Christopher Sein. Christopher Sein, dead at 45, said they were coming to kill him. They were threatening to kill him. He won a TV Emmy for his news reporting on the criminal activity of the deep state.
What kind of sense does that make? That doesn't make any sense. This story about the Clintons on the, or Bill Clinton on the tarmac meeting with Loretta Lynch is so damaging to the globalists that they have to kill this guy 5 years later after he reports it. But it's also supposed to be a story that would win an Emmy?
That's kind of what I'm struggling with. Are you telling me
that would only bring more attention to the story?
The entire media is like, wow, this is so good. We're going to award you for this.
Right. The whole media is controlled by the globalists. Right. But somehow the Emmys are an independent
thing. It's like the SEC. They're completely independent.
Yeah.
Only right-wing ideologues are actually giving out Emmys.
That is a tough reality for me to square. These narratives don't match up.
No.
The reality is that Christopher Sein won an Emmy in 2014, 2 years before the Clinton story, for his coverage of the shooting of two police officers in Phoenix. He also won an Edward Murrow Award for some of his reporting on serial killers in Phoenix. Alex just read a headline that he won an Emmy, and he's assuming that it must be for the Clinton story, even though that makes no sense when combined with other narratives that he's trying to push.
None at all.
He didn't look into it. He's just making up the story as he sees fit, because that's all he does.
How many other... Do the Clintons just go after Emmy winners? Is that like their secret? Like they're the serial killers with that one weird thing, you know?
Yeah, they collecting always, Emmys.
Exactly. Yeah. They've got the treasure. The whole thing. They're doing it. That makes sense.
Look out, John Hamm. Wait, did John Hamm ever win one?
Probably.
No, Cranston kept winning.
Cranston would not stop
Cranston's
winning.
Cranston's enemy number one.
Cranston's going to go down. That's all I know.
Look out, Hillary.
20 million? Hundreds of millions? No, we're just going to lose the Cranston. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, don't worry about Godzilla or
who. I don't know. How many Emmys did Modern Family win? All of them are gone.
Sure. So Alex talks about his own coverage of Christopher Sein's death.
Sure.
And I'll say that Alex is inaccurate in this.
How so?
Well, he wants to sort of change the landscape of what his predictions were.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I said, if more deaths pop up in the near future of other prominent anti-establishment individuals, it's a message to everyone ahead of massive killing. And I've got a clip of myself saying that.
So Alex has a clip of himself saying that, and it's not quite what he was saying. He was saying that, like, hey, maybe 20 Patriot weirdos will be dead overnight. Me and Tucker maybe are going to be... It was a little bit more specific than anybody who might be tertiarily related to
my
show.
Right.
Maybe someone who was on in the past. McAfee did not fit the image of who Alex was talking about in that episode.
Yeah.
So he plays this clip. Man, this is where everything falls apart.
And so here is a clip of myself talking about this.
Oh, boy.
10 days ago. In the coal mine, this guy was a big one. So if we start seeing more deaths the next few days, the next few weeks, it's a message to threaten everybody to shut up, or there might be 20 deaths by tomorrow. Well, I'm not sure what's going on with the control room today. Hell, I don't even have an idea at this point. Can we cue back up, gentlemen? Just, you know, for me here. Can we cue back up that clip? We're going to play it now. We're going to try this again. Here I am 10 days ago with sugar on top.
Okay, so real quick, before you respond, here is him trying again.
Okay.
Got to cue that
here
clip back up.
All right, one more time.
We're going to play
it now.
We're going to try this again. Here I am 10 days ago with sugar on top. During the coal mine, this guy was a big one. So if we start seeing more deaths the next few days, the next few weeks, it's a message to threaten everybody to shut up, or there might be 20 deaths by tomorrow. Oh, I understand. I sent you guys a full clip and somehow you didn't download them. I just got to get here earlier. I got to review every single clip.
It's your job.
Show.
You're talking about doing your job.
Yep.
That's all you're complaining about, having to work the job you created for yourself.
Well, there's that. But I think that there's a secondary thing, and that is that, like, he's recognizing that the people he's delegated these tasks to aren't doing their job, except they are.
Yeah.
Because he complains. He's like, I sent you a 10-second clip. That is 10 seconds. Maybe it doesn't feel like it to him. That is clearly the clip that he sent them.
Yep.
And it just doesn't say what he needs it to say in the moment. And he's really mad and he's lashing out at the staff for it.
Yeah, he needs a time machine to go back and tell himself to say what is going to be best for his narrative, because unfortunately he was talking out of his ass then and he's talking out of his ass now.
But he's trying his best.
I know.
Oh, I understand. I sent you guys a full clip and somehow you didn't download them. I just got to get here earlier. I got to review every single clip on this show.
There
I'm going to broadcast
many.
For a while. I'm going to reset the show at this point.
Oh, my God. You're the
and
worst.
I'm going to try to come back here. Because all hell's breaking loose. The wheels are coming off everything. And
because of this clip that you played.
I am really, 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 really trying my best here to do the best I can. Yeah, there it is on the sheet. It says 10 seconds. All righty then. Well, that is not how long that was.
It was.
It was.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I came in here and I went over all this and I've got all this news. And what does it even matter? What does it even matter to the general public? They don't care. They're all just going to die.
Wow. Wow. That's up from 20 million now.
What a whiny baby.
He's throwing a little fit because the clip didn't say how he set it up. He set it up too extremely. The clip didn't match those expectations. And now, instead of dealing with that and being like, well, you know, maybe I misset that up or something, he's throwing a fit and everyone's going to die. He's trying his best.
That is so funny. How can you do it that fast? How can you go from being like, I'm the best, I'm the strongest, we're going to fight this, to just being like, oh, this clip, I thought it was different. Everybody's going to die.
Well, you
like,
know,
whoa!
Well, you know, I think that good comedians on stage will be able to respond to changing dynamics in the audience really fast.
It's almost like your job.
Yeah. So, like, if you're on stage and you're in the middle of, let's say, a bit or a story, and something happens in the audience that you need to respond to, you can change.
Totally.
What you're doing in order to respond to that. Otherwise, it'll cause a wrench in the gears.
You'll be doing a bad job.
And I think that people who don't have experience doing stand-up or aren't in, like, don't know that, don't get how it's even possible that someone could do that.
Yeah.
And I think with Alex, he has that skill, but in this world, in this realm, and that is covering up the appearance of, oh, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
With an emotional outburst that's really severe and seems real to people who are tricked into thinking he's sincere about anything. Yeah. We're all going to die. That covers up the fuck up.
Yep.
The dynamic in the room changed, and he's responding to that. Blaming it on the staff.
Yep.
Talking about, who cares? We're all going to die anyway.
I mean, what's great about it is that part of you, if you are a listener, like if I'm part of the InfoWars listeners living through this clip, I am assuming...
I like calling it living through it.
Yes, exactly. I am assuming that Alex does have the actual clip, but unfortunately couldn't play it because of a mistake.
That's the impression that he wants you to have.
Not that he didn't say what it is that he wanted to have said.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And part of conveying that to the audience is the distraction of the little petulant meltdown,
which
totally has nothing to do with the clip. It is nothing to do with the clip?
Nothing.
I'd like you guys to re-download that clip I sent you.
The same one?
So that we can try to actually get that out and do that.
Bet you,
you know,
won't.
Maybe I'm not supposed to be on air anymore. Maybe this show's not supposed to be on air anymore. Maybe we've reached that point where I'm just supposed to walk away and disappear and let the whole thing collapse.
Yes. Yes.
So there's no holding it up. No doing that.
Do it. Do it.
Now look at all the people that have sold out the system. They love it.
Quit.
They love the death. They love the destruction. They love being fools because they're followers, because they're idiots, because they're morons. And that's really what all of this has come down to. didn't get mad because that clip didn't play.
Sure.
What? That pause is literally, there's nothing you can read into that pause other than him thinking, people are going to assume I was mad about the clip. I was mad about the clip. I gotta tell people I wasn't mad about the clip. That's the progression of thoughts that you can hear while he's silent. Yeah. You can hear them in his brain.
100%.
Wow. Yeah. People are definitely going to assume it was about that clip. Better say it wasn't.
This is clearly
100% about
my,
this clip.
My behavior is woefully transparent.
Unacceptable, in fact. Unprofessional?
Let me see if I can get out in front of this thing.
Exactly. Yes. A lot of people are going to say I killed that guy because he stole my food.
No,
not about that.
So, look, he wants to cover the big news.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He does, because he says he does.
Okay.
I really want to cover their globalist declaration of war against humanity properly. I want to do a good job for everybody. I'm going to try it again when we come back. But please, no one enter the studio. No one come in here. It's also like a train. Once somebody's a guest in here, they're in here all day long. Once there's something going on, it's like it's a freaking frat party out there. So all I'm asking for is to be left alone in the studio today. I'm not going to shoot any other videos. I'm not going to hang out with anybody. I love everybody, but I need to just focus in my own little cocoon and do my show right here. And that's what I'm going to try to do.
He's trying to present now that he's like too distracted by things that are going on in the studio to do his job.
But this isn't about the clip. I'm not mad about the clip.
All right, let's pretend it's not about the clip, and it is actually about him being too distracted by things that are going on.
Sure.
That's still his fault.
Yeah.
He's cultivated the work environment that he has. If it's not conducive to him getting his job done, then that's on him.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I feel no sympathy.
Yeah, to bring it back to comics, like that's like if you got the light and you were like, listen, I can't do stand-up! Somebody shined a light over there! I can never tell a joke again!
Yeah, or,
I'm too distracted!
Or people like in the audience eating food.
Yeah,
like, I'm so distracted by you eating, I can't tell jokes.
The check drop happened and now it's all over. The show ends.
But it's actually different because you didn't start the club. You aren't the person who made the menu.
Yes.
And made it so these people would be eating while you're trying to perform stand-up.
Why did I get so many cracklins? There's so much chomping going around here.
Yeah, that's the way to make that analog. I don't know. I think that this is sad. But Alex does get back to trying.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this this clip that he's trying to use as an argument that Joe Biden is threatening to nuke Americans.
Sure.
Because, Biden made that comment about how, if you're going to, having guns to fight the government makes no sense.
Yeah.
That sort of sentiment.
Yeah.
So Alex he builds this up quite a bit about how this is like he's going to nuke the fucking people, right?
What do you think is going to require more congressional oversight? Firing, let's say, the head of the IRS or nuking the American citizen?
Probably IRS.
IRS for sure, right?
So Alex builds that up. Then he plays the clip of Biden, and it does not say that.
You guys get the wrong clip again!
No, Alex does a different move that he usually does. Pay attention to this, because he makes an argument at the beginning, plays the clip, and then responds to a completely different argument at the end.
Sure,
because it doesn't say what he says it said.
So here's Biden, the imposter, the stooge, the puppet, the pretender, the destroyer.
Ooh.
Death that rides on the white horse, figuratively and literally.
Literally?
He rides on a white horse?
Reanimated by Satan. The usurper. Basically admitting in his own senile rage that, we want your guns. Because don't worry, you can't fight our military anyways. We've got the nukes. Saying the military is separate from the American people and that their plan is military action.
Huh?
As if you'd use a nuclear weapon on a rebellion and blow up
your
own
cities.
Yeah, that
is ridiculous.
Your own systems that are full of your own people. The cities are 60% Democrat slave or more. It's not even theoretical to use nuclear weapons to, quote, dominate the American people. Unless you meant nuke our major power production sites, which they're already turning off via carbon taxes, so that's not needed. They're already turning off our pipelines, destroying our borders, bringing in dependent populations they control. They're already doing that. So to say, hey, don't worry, you don't need those guns anyways. We've got nukes. You're separate from us. So what a statement. Here it is.
I'd add, the Second Amendment from the day it was passed limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of patriots, you know,
senile
all this
rage
stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the Tree of Liberty is not water with the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there are never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. The point is that there's always been the ability to rationally limit the type of weapon that can be owned and who can own it. The last time we had.
So there you go. Like the nukes the Democrats gave and the missile secrets.
What?
And to China.
So, yeah, you see a completely different point being made after the video, because it had nothing to do with the story that Alex is telling about, like, oh, he says he's going to act militarily on the people. It's a sort of a side point that Biden was making to the larger point, which is that there's always been limitations to what sorts of weaponry people can own for safety reasons.
Yeah, that's just abuse.
Yeah.
That's mental abuse to do that and then make that whiplash change as if you didn't.
I think, honestly, Alex should just review the clips before he comes in. You know?
He should listen to every clip, in fact, before he plays it.
Because otherwise you just have all this dissonance going on.
Yeah, it's hurtful.
So Alex kind of realizes after pivoting to the side what Biden's actual point is. And so he responds to that idea.
And of course, you can buy cannons. And the people that own cannons never see crimes being committed with them. Just like 50 cals is a cannon. Almost no crime has, like, one crime's been committed with a 50 caliber rifle. That was the robbery of an armored truck back in the 80s. So
Alex is trying to define a 50 caliber as a cannon, even though he even refers to it as a rifle. I think he knows that this is a dishonest argument. Also, in terms of crimes being committed with 50 caliber rifles, I was actually able to find a House of Representatives report from 1999 specifically about crimes committed with 50 caliber rifles. This report does tend to track with Alex's narrative, but part of the reason for that is that 50 caliber rifles are very inconvenient in terms of committing most crimes. Most of them are so large that you need to have them propped up on a stand for shooting purposes, which is why most of the instances of crimes associated with 50 caliber rifles in this government report are related to disrupted criminal plots. There's the case of a West Virginia Mountaineer militia member who was plotting to bomb an FBI office who had a 50 caliber rifle in his home when it was searched, for example. The majority of people mentioned in this report had the 50 cal at home, but would use smaller, more convenient weapons for away games.
Yeah. Because duh.
That said, Alex is still just lying. One case happened in 2015 when a man and his son, Greg and Jason Niedermeyer, fired on a sheriff's office volunteer and hit him 3 times.
Jesus.
The officer lived, but it's unclear if the 50 caliber that was being shot at him were the bullets that actually hit him.
Uh-huh.
But what is not unclear is that the 50 caliber definitely was shot at him.
Jesus Christ.
At least in his, like, when he was fleeing in his vehicle.
I mean, to somebody in the 1700s, that is a cannon. Mm. That is functionally the most terrifying cannon that's ever existed.
That officer had been part of an interagency group that had uncovered a marijuana grow site in Arizona, where they also found a ton of guns and pipe bombs. An ATV was seen speeding away from their location, and this officer followed it to what turned out to be the Niedermeyer's home. As soon as he exited his vehicle, they started shooting at him.
Yeah, I mean, it tracks. The only reason that you would have a gun that big is to commit a big crime,
right?
So it requires more planning, and
I know, but
nobody's like walking into a fucking 7-Eleven knocking it over with a 50 cal,
right?
You
it's
know,
inconvenient
like
for that
exactly.
kind of
yeah.
In 2013, a man named Adam Wickizer was arrested after shooting his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend. Prior to the shooting, the victim had called the police to say that Wickizer was on his own front porch with a rifle, and, quote, while cops were on their way, dispatchers heard a shot and a scream, and the connection shut off. So what happened is that he had a 50 caliber, and he was pointing it at this guy.
Yeah.
Allegedly just trying to scare him.
Hey, that'll scare you.
And he shot him in the neck.
Well, that's not scary.
In 2004, a guy named Marvin Heemeyer, he created an armored bulldozer with a 50 caliber mounted on it. He was mad about zoning issues and city codes, so he went off and, quote, plowed the armor-plated bulldozer into the town hall, a former mayor's home, and at least five other buildings.
I mean, in some ways, I respect that.
He shot himself rather than get arrested, and the 50 caliber wasn't actually used specifically in the crime, but
sure.
It was mounted on his armored bulldozer, so I think that counts.
That's probably more of an intimidation thing. If you're the only person running the bulldozer, I mean, you would need somebody up there.
They might have meant to use it.
Sure.
You never know.
True.
There are plenty of other examples, but I think the point is made, and nothing is going to top a crazy homemade armored bulldozer.
It just doesn't get better than that.
Mm.
That's just too good.
It is fairly true that 50 caliber rifles are rarely used in explicit violent acts because other weapons are just as effective and easier to wield. However, they are very often found as part of the home collections of criminals, and they are sometimes used in crimes themselves. What Alex is saying is just an old NRA talking point that he's internalized as truth because he's an idiot and a zealot,
yeah.
Just as brainwashed as everyone he claims on the left are.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of nonsense.
I get so tired of the same argument being convincing enough for these types of people. Like, here's the thing. If somebody gave me an argument that I knew was the exact same argument from the 60s that they tried mm-hmm. and that didn't work,
mm-hmm.
I would say, we don't care about that idea anymore. We tried and it didn't work.
Right.
And these people are just like, I know it didn't work last year,
mm-hmm.
but maybe it'll work now and
right.
next year and the year after that and the year after that and the year after that. And then they've been so brainwashed by it. There's just they love hearing it. They love to hear that guns are the best.
Mm-hmm.
They just love it.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, you change a little bit of, aesthetic. You change the shirt that the narrative is wearing or whatever. And it, you know, you can pass it off as brand new.
Yep.
I think Alex does a bunch of that. That's what I think a conspiracy culture like really does a lot of that work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just that macro all over again. You know, you switch the Black Panther fatigues for a BLM shirt and you're still like, they're communist infiltrators that the Democrats are bringing in from other countries to replace us. Sure. No. We said that in the 90s. Sure. We said that in the 80s. Sure. We said that in the 70s, the 60s, the 50s.
Yeah.
Sure. We did
now,
that.
It's interesting that you use that.
But
example.
Now it's true. Now it's true.
Sure.
Yeah.
But you bring that example up, and that's very fitting, because at this point, Alex gets into critical race theory.
Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no.
I'm not even taking this seriously as a legitimate argument that is being made.
There's no argument.
But what Alex is responding to is that clip of General Milley.
Yeah.
Saying that he wants to understand white rage.
Yeah.
And that he understands, or, you know, he reads a lot of things about theories, whether or not he necessarily believes that they're true.
Sure, sure.
'Cause there's value in understanding all kinds of people's perspectives.
Yes. He said education is important, and
yes.
The conservatives went, bah!
So Alex has some real problems with General Milley.
Sure.
And some of the other brass.
Anybody who doesn't say white people are the best and everybody else should die.
Yep. Apparently they're putting a bunch of black generals in charge because they're going to take the guns and then you're racist if you resist it.
You're not going to, if you attack the black generals leading gun confiscation across the country? They've already briefed. They're already ready. They're already preparing the cadres to train for total gun confiscation to be led by the Secretary of Defense, and the National Sherman 2.0 is to be General Honoré on record declaring war on white people and gun owners. And it won't matter what color you are when they're taking the guns and killing you. You'll be a white supremacist. You don't turn them over. That's how they were always going to come for the guns.
Okay.
Always.
Always.
That's what you've said.
For years.
For years. Didn't say any other... You know, it's so funny. It's just so funny how obvious this is, just because the moment people started talking about critical race theory, the conservatives reveal exactly why it's important by reacting in such a white nationalist way. Like, their immediate response is, you're trying to kill white people.
It's
and you're
little...
like, do you get why we need the theory?
It's a little telling. And I think that, honestly, I would ask any of these people who are complaining about this idea, this theory, what is it?
Yeah. Yeah. No, and they don't care.
I would not get an answer.
They don't care and they don't know.
Alex has no idea. He doesn't make any reference to what the theory actually is, what the roots of it are. Anything other than white people are bad.
Yeah.
That's the all only thing hear. That he thinks that totally. This involves. And it's nonsense. And so, you know, Milley, Austin, his generals, they're traitors.
Sure.
Traitors.
Wow.
And they're planting false flags.
Nothing.
This country in its 250 years history has never had traitors as bad as Honoré and Milley and Austin. These men, once they've been politically, culturally, economically, and using the criminal justice system defeated, will be known as the new definition of Benedict Arnold. They are the plague. They are a curse. And they are planning, in my view, false flag terror attacks here in America to cement their rollout against us. They're spoiling for a war. They're spoiling for a coup. They're spoiling to overthrow, and they're getting ready to carry out terror attacks. That is, their handlers are to be blamed on those of us that are loyal Americans.
So, yeah, we got, you know, I hear this all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
It's conservatives are just empty of everything but whiteness and guns now. Colin Kaepernick, how dare you disrespect the military? Generals are all traitors and we should kill them. Like, Jesus Christ, there is nothing. It's empty of whiteness and just whiteness and guns. That's it.
I agree, at least from the perspective of this branch of the conservative media.
Just insane.
Absolutely.
Insane.
It's nonsensical. But from Alex specifically, like, I just don't understand how he feels like he can get any purchase out of like predicting false flags. It just happens all the time. Never-ending predictions that you just ignore that you've made last week and the week before. It's outrageous.
You got to update it. You know, it's like when you've got an album and the release date keeps getting pushed back.
No, it's like he's hitting snooze.
Yeah, exactly.
The alarm clock.
That is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And this is a snooze because
nice.
It's all just
nice.
white nonsense.
And they're on channels saying we need to get members of Congress using the military. And then General Milley and General Austin and General Honoré get up there and click their heels and say, we want to slug out with the American people, and every white person that doesn't salute us is a white supremacist enemy, and we're the Americans and they're Hitler, and we're going to get them. We're ready for war. Turn us loose. Ooh, 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 ooh. We're going to get America. Death to America, says Milley. Death to America, says Austin. Death to America.
Frustrated trying to get business capital?
Is that what Alex was?
Maybe.
Was he frustrated that he couldn't get business capital?
I think it might have been a fitting commercial.
That might have worked.
Yeah, he seems fake mad there.
Yeah.
So it's a Marxist plan, this critical race theory.
Oh, my God.
Marxist.
You know, I might even argue that Alex is making a compelling defense for my point, which is that if you don't read or engage with critical theory, race theory, you're probably a white supremacist.
I think that if you respond this knee-jerk way, then maybe...
They're going to call all of us white supremacists only because we immediately react in a way that would suggest we believe in the supremacy of white people.
It's sort of telling on yourself.
It's a little bit. Yeah.
And he continues to.
You know, I didn't play a lot of it because I already watched it yesterday, and I figure most of you have already seen it. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here. Of General Milley and General Austin and all the rest of these guys up there with just such demonic looks on their faces, hateful towards Congress, when they brought up critical race theory, that is a Marxist-Leninist globalist liberation theology to bring down the country on record, that America's a colonialist country, shouldn't exist. This is pure poison. And then to say all our white members of the military have to be asked whether they're good people or not, that is so racist, so evil,
was that
so
Florida?
Abusive. And to see the enjoyment of Milley and the enjoyment of Austin, knowing this is their takeover plan and they're in on the takeover of America and they're these big conquerors, to see them abuse their position, betray us like this, It's just it's blood curdling.
It's just dumb.
I mean, that fucking refrain of everything they say we're doing is what they're doing. And then he says, oh, all the white members of the military are going to have to be asked how they think. Not true. Mm-hmm. In Florida, all the students are going to be asked what they think because of the Republican government. Like, they would stop saying that you're doing what we're doing. You're doing it.
Mm.
Ah!
It's blood curdling?
Yeah. It's frustrating to be gaslit on a national stage.
So you know what gets my goose?
What's
though,
that?
I'll say. It's that, you know, I have a line in the sand.
Okay.
And that is that critical race theory should not be taught to preschoolers.
I honestly disagree. You got to wrestle with those concepts from the beginning.
No, you don't.
Yep.
No, you don't.
Clifford the Big Red Dog should be entirely about race relations.
When do you learn addition? Is that preschool?
I don't even think so.
Is it finger painting? Is that
I think
what
it might just be finger painting.
Yeah, so anyway, Alex thinks that they're teaching critical race theory to preschoolers.
Sure, sure.
Which...
How?
I don't know.
How?
I don't know.
How?
Well, I mean, look. Alex doesn't know what anything is.
That's true. That's true.
But he is still mad.
True.
But then we've got all the critical race theory documents from preschools now. They're teaching white children that they're bad because they're white. That'll stick for life. This is super abusive. That article's on Infowars.com. And I'm sure the general agrees with that because he said the Capitol was white rage. He wants to know why white people attacked this Capitol. 2,000 of them.
Oh, I don't think it's hard to
figure out.
Oh,
you mean a million
out.
People showed up to protest the fraudulent election, our right to do it, and then your provocateurs helped trick maybe 500, 600 inside that walked through the velvet ropes and maybe 20 fought police and the police stood down? So you can now say all of them are white supremacists and then all of America is and you're the big U.S. military gonna teach us because Biden said you got the nukes and the F-15s. To show the gun owners.
I think Alex just embodied that.
Yeah, 100%. Yep.
Huh.
Yep. This is an example of why this is important.
Right here.
Yeah, there you go. Critical race theory is about teaching children that it's bad to be white.
Oh, that's that anger that we were talking about.
The white rage.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
I think I understand
it. Thank you for
it.
Being an example.
I understand it now.
But this particular brand of rage that Alex Jones embodies, it is not all just racial. Sometimes it's homophobic, too.
Oh, that's nice.
But there's our military leaders who aren't ours. They're captured, they're controlled, and they are enthusiastic. And Trump, of course, fetishized Milley and others when they were all working against him, just like Mad Dog Mattis. I guess they call him Mad Dog because he's such a homosexual or whatever. And you know, I guess he gets Mad Dog, he gets a room with a bunch of pee-pees. But... I mean, that's who these guys are. And the point is, there's nothing wrong with the fact that Mattis is homosexual, probably. The point is
what?
They blackmail him with that. They call him Mad Dog Mattis because he's like 3 feet tall. Everything they say about him is a fraud. It's not a mad dog. He's a mad creep. He wanted to have a coup against the president. They're sacks of garbage. They're enemies. They're un-American. They're, oh, the media tells you he's an intellectual. He reads books. Ooh, Mattis reads books. Ooh, Milley was a Green Beret. Ooh, 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 look.
Convinced me.
Judge them by their fruits.
I would say that if you apply the standard of judging people by their fruits to Alex's guests...
Ooh, I don't think he would like it if you did that.
He'd probably have to disown all of them.
I think he should.
Yeah. How does Steve Pachanik stand up to the judge a man by his fruits test?
Well, you know, apparently you can't judge him by his fruits because you will be killed.
Right.
By his global team... of world shatterers.
His fruits are that he's taken responsibility for literally everything. That's ever happened in geopolitics.
Yeah, yeah. Including assassinations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tons of them.
Mm.
Overthrowing governments, the coups.
Not good fruits.
Explain to me.
Imaginary fruits, some might say.
I mean, it's like... Steve Pachanik is the only person who has actively claimed to have already committed coups.
Oh, yeah. He's been on Alex's show saying that he's in a state of open treason against the government.
I'm supposed to sit here and be like, the people who work for the government are starting a coup, but me and the person who commits coups, whoa, we're trying to stop it this time.
Well, no. He's doing a coup, but it's only because the other coup.
Counter coup.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many counters are we on now?
Who knows?
Yeah.
How about Leo Zagami? How's his fruits?
Well, he got the Pope arrested.
You don't know anything about the Pope.
I don't know shit.
So he's Jesus, apparently.
Yeah, that's true.
Good fruits.
Nobody's born better fruits than Jesus.
How about Roger Stone and his North Korean ballot boats?
You don't even need the imaginary fruits of Roger Stone. The actual fruits of his should prove more than enough about how evil that piece of shit is.
Alex has recently made friends with Mike Lindell. He's got some interesting fruit.
Best pillows in the world.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
I don't know. It's a bad fruit salad, I would say. InfoWars guests is not edible arrangement.
All passion fruits and kiwis just mixed together.
So the problem, though, with the army and the services and the generals.
Is that the problem?
Wokeness.
God, you're just white. That's all you're mad about.
Yeah, and so Alex complains about this a little bit, and then this is one of the sadder ad pivots I've heard in a while. I'm going to tell you in advance just so you can experience. This is a bummer.
Okay.
Because you're the woke person with all the corporations and the Pentagon and all the universities and the whole system in Hollywood behind you to mess with our kids and screw with their brains. With big tech censoring everybody and the rest of it. It's totally disgusting. All right, I haven't plugged yet. I'm just going to tell you this right now. If you don't support us, we won't be here. Maybe that's what God wants, so whatever.
Wow. Yikes.
Oh, yeah, that's the other part of understanding white rage is ultimately when you get down to the bottom of it, you just have to remember it's a bunch of people whining that white people aren't running everything and everything isn't easy for them. That's it.
Yep, there does seem to be a bit of that.
Yep.
So Alex gets back to talking about McAfee.
Oh.
Exciting.
Is it?
No.
Nah.
But on his immediate video that he put out, the evidence that Alex presented is all that tweets.
Yeah.
Tweets.
Just tweets.
Now, suspiciously, the next day, we have a new piece of evidence that Alex is adding.
That is suspicious.
Same thing with John McAfee, who I knew well, who personally told me the last time we talked on the phone, couple years ago, before he was thrown in that Madrid prison for no reason, waiting extradition.
No reason.
By Julian Assange, the U.S., that he would never commit suicide. So as soon as I heard yesterday afternoon, right after I went off air, that John McAfee was dead, I was in my office taking like a 30-minute nap to reset my brain. Little trick to trick your mind that you haven't been working since 5 a.m.
Wow.
To go back to work. And Rob News like, John McAfee's dead. Dead in a Madrid, Barcelona. Barcelona. Teleprompter free, folks. Barcelona jail. And I said, go check his Twitter, see if he said he would never commit suicide.
What?
Wait, you said.
Yeah.
He told you. You don't need the Twitter.
Yeah.
He told you personally.
But this is the fun that Alex now gets to have with taking over the sort of identity and the personal stories. There's just enough connection between them that it's plausible that McAfee and him have had private conversations.
Of course.
So now Alex can just say whatever he wants and be like, yeah, he said that to me on the phone.
Yep. We are gradually getting closer and closer to John McAfee was my best friend.
Totally.
We've been together for 30 years.
I was in Belize.
Exactly. Yes.
I killed his neighbor.
100%. It might as well be like, I knew him well. Yeah. Like we talked, he was on the show maybe 20 times, I knew him really well. We were close. We talked. We texted all the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
We were in a rotisserie baseball league.
Totally. Yeah. You went to my Veterans Association. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
He named my first child.
Rex is short for McAfee.
Yeah. So Alex compares this, of course, to the death of Andrew Breitbart.
Naturally.
And unfortunately, Alex has not brushed up on the Breitbart death narratives. And he confuses some of the details.
Just like Breitbart died of a heart attack 2 hours after he was in the hospital. Well, they never say that. They didn't say that. The media lied. He had information, a video reportedly, of Hillary Clinton doing absolutely horrible things. And I talked to Eric Mueller, Mancow Mueller, was good friends with him, talked to him every day. They hung out all the time when Mancow was out in L.A. He said, no, man, they might kill me. They're after me. They're following me, but screw them. Breitbart did not kill himself.
I agree that Breitbart didn't kill himself.
He didn't kill himself.
No one's saying that he did.
No one said he killed himself.
Alex is screwing up the details of the conspiracy theory. The story was that Breitbart was killed because he had a video that would take down Barack Obama, presumably evidence that he was a radical communist extremist.
Yeah.
The conspiracy was never about Hillary, but the real version of the Breitbart conspiracy isn't going to move the needle at this point. Hillary is more interesting in the Satanism and all that. So that's the thing, the MacGuffin that... Yeah. That Breitbart had that needed to be silenced. Alex is just completely screwing up even what the stories were.
I think it's kind of funny. I think it's kind of funny how most conspiracy theories about Obama have just faded. You know, like they're all in the background. Now it's back to the Clintons somehow.
Yeah.
You know, like that's Obama was president a short while ago and you hated that guy.
But I think that they've been able to transition a lot of the Obama conspiracies into actually being Clinton conspiracies.
Yeah.
It's sort of a sub branch.
And then Biden has a connection to both of them, so you can kind of triangulate there. But, I mean, it's just...
And Bill and Hillary are secretly running the Biden administration as well.
Yeah. It's just, like, the only people who fucking hate Obama now are the left. We're the only ones who've gotten together and reevaluated and been like, oh, we were fucked.
No, I think Alex and the right still very much dislike Obama.
Sure,
passionately.
Sure.
I think that the left have critiques and criticisms of a lot of policies that Obama enacted and could have done better about.
And his post-presidential life as well.
I don't think that any president is going to have a real great time after their president.
I think Carter did.
Well, I think...
By dedicating his life to helping others and going away.
But I also still think that he took it on the chin quite a bit about, you know, sort of the economic impact of
totally.
His time in office.
Totally.
I think that you're not going to ever have smooth sailing afterwards.
Probably not.
And, you know, maybe that's something that people should expect when they get in.
Totally.
You get cushy speaking gigs, but also... A lot of people are not going
to
like you.
And it's hard not to commit war crimes if you're the president of the United States. So,
true.
Generally speaking,
it's something that maybe we should
consider.
Almost
all of our presidents should be in The Hague.
Sure. I think your comment is cool.
Noted?
No. I think that the left doesn't hate Obama. They have critiques of him. That some might border on strong dislike, and I'm sure that there are some people who do hate.
Sure.
But the right does still hate him.
That's true. That's
true. The point that I was.
He's just not the forefront.
Yeah.
No, I understand. I'm just saying he's not the forefront of the.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
He's not the brunt. He's not getting
the Clintons
there.
Will always still have a special place in their heart.
Oh man.
Yeah. Well, it's because the Clintons were the big bad guys at the time when things were pretty fun for
when it was really popping off.
Yeah.
And Limbaugh was going ham on everybody. Mm-hmm. All the
they had the newsletters and everything felt kind of secretive, and they were in their clubs.
Yeah, and the groundwork has been laid for so many years that sure, they're still available.
It was so much easier to actually be a white supremacist or Nazi back then.
Yeah,
because like the internet didn't exist.
Yeah, you just got away with it.
Yeah,
you and your buddies hung out in a garage and planned murders.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you talked. Yeah,
yeah, the good old days.
So
good.
Alex seems to believe that the Pentagon has declared war on the American people.
That sounds weird for just a conversation about a guy having read theory before, but
also,
yeah,
don't do anything about it.
Okay. Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Now let me be clear. The Pentagon has declared war on you.
Yes.
Be cool.
Okay. That's really comforting to know.
Be cool.
I'm comforted.
Sit out. Just be cool.
So a 9 is starting to kill anybody prominent to scare everybody to shut up ahead of the real takeover. It's what the Pentagon did in South Vietnam before they did a big offensive. They ended up backfiring on them because the Vietnamese weren't wimps. I'm not picking sides in that war. I'm just saying.
You're not picking sides in the Vietnam War?
In the mid-1960s, who they thought were sympathizing with the North Vietnamese. Now, you think killing everybody's grandpa made the Vietnamese go get in the fetal position and cry to mommy? No, made them get machine guns and hand grenades. So here's the difference. You're not going to have big, tough guy Millie and big, tough guy Austin waging war on us over in Vietnam. It's going to be here. And they want that war with us. They were trained and bred to hate this country.
When?
They were trained to infiltrate our government.
Wait, just now?
And now they want that war, and they think we're such cowards that they're going to be able to take it over and win this attack against us. I don't want that. I want this to stop, but they're on the news. The official battle doctrine of the U.S. Army and the military is now war with America. That alone's total treason. Biden should be impeached right now. But instead, it's full scale ahead with war. I hope to avert it. I hope to stop it. The last thing we need is any offensive violence.
But wow. Well done.
The Pentagon has declared war on the American people. The Pentagon is taken over by the New World Order. At the top. And we're in a lot of trouble. I don't want people in the military to get mad about it. I don't want you to even
don't get mad about it.
They want you to identify yourself so they can get rid of you. Just sit there and keep your mouth shut, but understand this. This country's 2 minutes to execution.
So
and maybe that's what we deserve. We killed 60 million babies. We let pedophiles teach our kids in schools. We worship the devil. Maybe it's God's plan.
This is a mess.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Pentagon's declared war on America.
He says that multiple times.
Multiple times. But he does point out he doesn't want offensive violence.
Be cool.
I don't want any offensive violence.
2 minutes to execution.
Next statement. The Pentagon has declared war on America.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, if you're in the Army and you're in the services,
yeah,
be cool.
Be cool. You don't want to let them know that you're
don't
a patriot.
Don't show your cards.
No, absolutely not.
It's 2 minutes to execution, so what I want you to do is wait a minute and a half.
Maybe a minute 45, but that might be too long.
So dumb.
That's so fucking just dissonant to the point of, in a way, paralysis. Mm-hmm. Like, how can I live in a space where I'm being actively murdered any moment now?
Right.
And also,
in 2 minutes, metaphorically.
And also, I should just wait.
Be cool. Yeah,
bananas.
I know. It's
bananas.
Not, it's a nonsensical emotional state that he wants the audience to be
in. It's just a beatdown.
Yeah. So Alex almost started the show covering news about how COVID was definitively created in a lab.
He was really close to doing it.
And I'm now back to my adventure of listening to this as an InfoWars listener.
Okay.
Is this the story that Alex was talking about
Let's
earlier?
Let's find out.
Maybe?
You know, I almost started the whole broadcast today just with the insanely over-the-top news on COVID being cooked in a lab, released on purpose.
It is over the top.
British government announcing what we already knew. Depending on who you are politically, you won't be allowed outside. But if you are deemed politically correct, you'll be allowed to leave your house under future lockdowns. This is just martial law digital passes. And if you're caught outside without your phone tracking where you go and what you do, you're permanently detained. I mean, this is martial law, period. Hell on earth.
So is this the story? I don't know if this is. This doesn't seem like the same story, but it did at the beginning of the clip.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know anything.
All right. This is a tacit admission that the mark of the beast isn't real. Because he's even just pointed it out. If you're outside without your phone, they can track you and find you at any point in time. That's what he said. So the mark of the beast already happened. It's your phone.
Oh.
So we're done. We're done with the Mark of the Beast forever. He's proven it. The Mark of the Beast has happened. It happened when the iPod first came out 20 years ago.
Everybody go back to flip phones
fast. Exactly.
So I don't have any better understanding of what that story was.
What's it about?
Well, I'm confused. Yeah. I don't know. But thankfully, Alex doesn't spend much time on it because he's got to get back to McAfee conspiracies.
I would like more details on how I'm deemed politically correct enough to go outside.
Well, you got to be woke.
Okay. Is there a step-by-step process?
Well, the first thing is you've got to understand that McAfee was murdered.
Okay.
We know the head of Homeland Security traveled to Spain and was in Madrid yesterday while McAfee died.
What?
That's another headline we can put up on screen. Very interesting that just so happened to happen. But we don't know if, quote, Homeland Security killed him. Could have been the Barcelona police at that federal prison thinking he had billions in Bitcoin or some other cryptocurrency. But what we do know is his lawyer says no indication of suicide. He just talked to him days before.
Alex is actually correct that the head of Homeland Security was on an official state visit to Spain at that time. So I guess that kind of fucking proves it.
Well, he was in Madrid, so naturally he had plenty of time to just sneak down to Barcelona, murder McAfee, and then sneak back up to Madrid.
He was in the same country, therefore he murdered him.
Yeah, absolutely. No.
That's well constructed. I have no response.
No, a murder happened in Austin, and I am here in Chicago. We're in the same country. Yeah, I did it.
As far as McAfee's lawyer goes, this is another classic case of Alex reading a headline and pretending that he's read the article. There was a Reuters article with the headline, quote, "Lawyer saw no sign that software mogul McAfee would kill himself." And Alex is assuming that the body of the article must be about how the lawyer is saying that it wasn't suicide. In reality, his lawyer, Javier Villalba, was the person who made the initial statement to Reuters. Quote, "McAfee's lawyer, Javier Villalba, said that the antivirus software pioneer died by hanging as his 9 months in prison brought him to despair." This article is just Villalba commenting that he didn't see any signs that this would come to pass. Villalba and McAfee's widow are pursuing an investigation into the circumstances of his death, but according to an ABC News article about the case, quote, "Although Villalba said that he had no evidence of any foul play, he blamed the death on, quote, the cruelty of the system for keeping a 75-year-old behind bars for economic and not blood-related crimes after judges refused to release him on bail." Mm. So it seems to be that's the approach that he's going with in terms of re-examining the death. And fine, I mean, in terms of incarceration, let's take a look at things.
Yeah, I mean,
not for McAfee's sake, but for the sake of the larger issue. And I mean, I think that America certainly has some issues with that. This was in Spain.
Totally.
I'm not entirely sure how the
Spanish prison system is.
I don't know enough about it.
Me neither.
And I don't know what I personally would be able to do to make an impact on it.
Yeah, I mean, and in this situation, it's so unique just because, yes, I know, I don't agree that a 75-year-old should be in a prison for financial crimes. And at the same time, it's John McAfee. If you let him out of prison, he's not going to be in your country anymore.
He's going to be on
a boat. That is how it works. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, you know? Like, there's no solution for John McAfee.
I don't have, like, an ideal circumstance with him, you know? Like,
yeah.
I just don't. I understand that, you know, there are crimes and there are rules of how those crimes are treated.
Sure.
If we want to talk about different ways in which law and punishment works, I'm open to that conversation.
Totally.
If John McAfee had gotten out of this Spanish prison because they didn't want to extradite him to the United States and he ended up back on his boat,
yeah,
I don't know if I would think that was the worst thing ever. He's a crazy old dude on a boat.
Right.
Like, granted, maybe he did kill his neighbor.
Maybe he's a murderer,
and
too.
And he presents a danger to people.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think my just immediate reaction to anything about this is just like, everybody made their decisions, and I had no input, and I wash my hands of this.
Sure.
This specific circumstance is its own circumstance.
Now, if the conversation that the lawyer is bringing up about, you know, how financial crimes are dealt with, particularly in the cases of somebody who's 75 years old, and, you know,
sure,
like, maybe there's a conversation to have there.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be because of McAfee. It should be because of plenty
all
of
the
other cases.
Millions of people who have been fucked over by the prison system. Yeah. Yes.
So Alex brings up the tweets. He wants to go over the evidence, really just refresh on the evidence of McAfee. and this is a
Do
really
you mean just read the tweet again.
This is a pretty sad display on Alex's part.
First, let's remember, he said, "I am content here. I have friends. The food is good. All is well. Know that if I hang myself, a la Epstein, it will be no fault of mine." That's when he was first in that prison in October of 2020.
So this tweet is really the keystone of Alex's argument, and I find it dishonest that Alex doesn't strive to put this statement in its proper context. For instance, if Alex were an honest actor just trying to present the truth, he should point out that this tweet, you know, he does say that it's from last October, but he doesn't point out that on April 25th of this year, McAfee also tweeted, quote, "I've been imprisoned in Catalonia nearly 7 months. I speak no Catalan and little Spanish, so human contact is limited. There are no entertainments, no escape from loneliness, from emptiness, from myself." That tweet alone presents a departure from the mental state he was in when he posted that tweet in October. Alex would never bring up this other tweet because it calls into question the certainty of his predetermined conclusion, and selling that conclusion is impossible if the certainty is ever questioned. It wouldn't survive any kind of scrutiny unless you enter into the act of scrutinizing already decided of the conclusion and the fact.
Yeah.
So he just... he's got this.
Yeah, it's like, hey, 8 months ago he tweeted, "I'll never kill myself." 4 months ago he tweeted, "I live in despair and life is meaningless for me and I don't want to go
there's
on.
There's no escape from myself."
Exactly. It's like, well, yeah.
So Alex wants to read this more recent tweet and he doesn't come up with what he's saying.
"But I don't know why it's not my stack. I guess I lost it. Just want to go to his Twitter in a moment and go to a thing 8 days ago. No, I want to read that. I want to read what you had on screen. But I want to go back 8 days ago where the most important one is about they may be planning to kill me, because that's the last known communication from him is that, and then he's cut off. I've collected files on corruption in government for the first time. I'm naming names and specifics. I'll begin with the corrupt CIA agent and two Bohemian officials. Coming today, if I'm arrested or disappear, 31 plus terabytes of incriminating data will be released to the press." That was June 9th, 2019. So there's a big, big motive for him to die.
So yeah, he's trying to find this tweet from 8 days ago that makes his case, and he finds something
from 2019.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's
because the one 8 days ago was just like, "I liked the new Rick and Morty episode."
Well, I mean, look. This is so important that Alex, he has to find this tweet.
"And I'll do it myself because it's my fault. I had it last night, shot a report on it last night, had it today. There was a message from McAfee last week. And for some reason, all the king's horses and all the king's men cannot pull that up. So I will find it.
Just go to his Twitter
rebroadcast,
feed.
And I will come back and I will give you that information."
I mean, it's his
you
last
can actually
tweet.
Play the video then and see the tweet. But did they take his Twitter down? Is his Twitter down? Is that? All right, go to rebrook. Wait, I mean, it's like a week ago. He did the final message from him, and it's just on his Twitter. All right, I'm not mad.
Sounds like you're mad.
I got to take a break. I got to go. All right, that's it. I'm done today. I'm going to go ahead and I'm complete. I'm done. Let's go ahead and go to, let's play the gay choir sings about vaccines. That's the really important news for everybody.
What? What?
Yeah.
What is happening?
I don't know.
What is life? Is it death?
I'm done for the day.
Am I dead?
Second time in his show this day that he's like, "I'm fucking done."
I swear to
God, that's a record. I don't think I've seen him do this twice in a show.
I'm really
impressive.
I'm getting to the point now where I'm fairly convinced that you're Truman showing me like this whole thing is bullshit. Alex isn't even real, and there are cameras on me all the time because this didn't happen. This is a lie.
It's outrageous. Like this, the "I'm done" twice in the same day is unprecedented.
Yeah,
and amazing.
That's bad.
And then it's almost like a parody of Alex's show for him to be like, "All right, I'm leaving. Play that clip where the gay choir sings about vaccines."
You can't, like, a parody is supposed to be an escalation.
Yeah.
And you can't parody. I couldn't have thought, "Let's play the gay choir sings about vaccines."
No.
I can't write that.
That's important news.
I can't come up with that if I'm writing a satire of this situation.
Yeah.
He won.
He's
defeated me.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So
no, he's transcended beyond parody.
I love that because this is at the end of the second hour, and
we're only at the end of the second hour. Oh God!
So twice in 2 hours, Alex has had a blow up and threatened to leave air. And I thought, like, okay, this is the end of the second hour. I guess we're going to come back in the third hour. It's just going to be special reports.
Sure.
You know, he's gone. He said he's done for the day.
He's back.
He's back.
Oh, of course he is.
All right, folks. We're back live.
He doesn't even have the courage to quit his show.
I didn't find the tweet I wanted. I wasn't being clear with them. Feels like I'm kind of OCD at this point.
Is that what
it is? Believes I have hidden crypto. I wish I did, but it has dissolved through the many hands of Team McAfee. Your belief is not required. When my remaining assets are all seized, my friends have evaporated through fear of association. I have nothing, yet I regret nothing.
That tweet's not proof of anything.
No.
And it doesn't say that McAfee wouldn't commit suicide. He was just saying that the U.S. thinks he has hidden cryptocurrency, not because they want to kill him for it, but because he was wanted in the United States for financial crimes related to fraud and cryptocurrency.
Because he owes
non-payment of taxes.
Because all that money is not his.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This tweet isn't a slam dunk the way Alex was pretending when he did his little wah-wah rant and threatened to go off air, and then he found this. But this is, again, it's a pattern of behavior. This tweet doesn't match what Alex was building it up to be.
Right.
He had a lash out almost as a distraction from the reality being presented to his audience that his narrative doesn't match the supporting evidence. This happens a bunch. It's basically key jangling.
It's absolutely that. And it's just so harmful. It's so harmful. I mean, how can you, once you're trapped in that and that works, like, what argument could be made? Like, if you want to, like,
cooler keys,
you know? Yeah. I mean, kind of to a certain extent, like, if you want to communicate with somebody, you have to communicate in their language. And if their language is consumed by this, then the only way you can communicate with them is through this. You know what I'm saying?
Kind of. I mean, it's a depressing thought.
You can't, like, have a conversation with somebody who's willing to just be like, these keys were jangling, so I'm going to let whatever information that I was going to talk about go.
I think that humans are susceptible to distraction, and a lot of times, we go on autopilot a lot of the time, and we don't engage the critical thinking skills that we do have access to when we feel we don't need to.
Right.
And I think that a lot of the times the people who fall for stuff like this and fall into these traps and are distracted by these jangling keys are capable of thinking their way out of it.
Sure.
And rationalizing and recognizing, oh, this is what he's doing.
Totally.
I think it is possible, but generally the stimulus that's required to get them to activate those critical thinking tools, they just aren't ever engaged.
Sure.
I think it is possible, and maybe I'm overly optimistic or naive, but I do believe that that is possible.
I agree wholeheartedly with you, and my best evidence for your point is that if it weren't possible, they wouldn't spend billions upon billions of dollars making sure these people never engage with that.
And stay ensconced in their information spheres.
Like, that's the best evidence for your point.
And what I would argue against your point with, it's not your point, but your thought.
Sure.
Is that I think that when you try to jangle other keys, the only thing that ends up happening is you end up just choosing a different lane of bullshit.
Yeah, of course.
Like, the Alex keys are jangling, and then the QAnon keys are jangling over here, and you get distracted by those.
Yep.
You don't really get distracted towards reality by that methodology, I don't think. And it's unfortunate.
Or at least we haven't figured out a way to distract people with reality yet.
I think it's a losing strategy to try to find that.
It doesn't seem like it's worked.
Yeah. So for the third hour, Alex interviews a guy from Black Guns Matter. And
okay.
I don't care.
Okay.
Their interview was I mean, the guy, for the most part, there's just a bunch of standard talking points about guns. But then also, like, he's talking about black gun ownership and whatever.
Right.
Fine.
Yeah.
One last thing that we have to take care of, though, is that I still don't understand that Fauci story.
No.
As a listener of his show.
Yeah.
Going in with the information that's provided to me by Alex, I don't know what the proof is that Fauci created this pandemic.
No, what you're missing is that the proof is he said Fauci created the pandemic, And then we talk about John McAfee dying all the time.
Oh.
So then you just know that Fauci created the pandemic.
And Alex would have gotten to it if he had time.
He would have loved to, yeah. But he was too busy being pissed off about all those clips that didn't say what it was he thought they would.
Yeah. So we have one clip of him. I think
he's
this
a great
is,
broadcaster.
I think this is the story that he's talking okay. about. I think.
Okay.
U.S. confirms removal of Wuhan virus sequences from database by Fauci and the NIH after Communist China requested it, Bloomberg. Here it is yesterday. NIH deleted coronavirus sequences at request of Chinese scientists.
If Alex read any of the stories about this, he would know that it's the policy of the NIH database to consider data to be the property of the scientist who submitted it. They hold the right to withdraw their data if they want to, and that's what happened in this case. Also, that data is still available online, and the removal of it from the NIH database will probably have zero impact on any investigation into the virus.
Yeah.
This is just like a catchy headline, I guess, that doesn't really... It sounds like it's a bigger deal than it is, but... I don't, from what I've been able to tell, this is not necessarily a huge deal.
Yeah.
And it's being, like, it's covered by outlets like the New York Times. Like, the story isn't something that's being ignored or anything. It's interesting.
No, I mean, once it's on the internet, it's out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you can take it off the NIH's website, but it's, there's still fucking way back of it on the NIH's website. It's there.
And the story in the New York Times is about this scientist who used Google Cloud data and found all of these old things that had been taken down.
Yeah.
And, you know, sure, it's interesting, but I don't think it proves that Fauci created the virus.
So if I understand correctly, researcher took down his own research off the NIH website.
He requested it be taken down. Yes.
And that proves that Fauci created the virus.
I mean, I guess.
Oh, okay.
As a listener of his show, that's the conclusion that I'm left.
That's the only thing I can think of.
This is dumb.
Yeah.
Man, what an episode.
He just fucking nonstop bangers. It was like an early Radiohead show, just nonstop hits all the time.
Yeah, I got the bends. I think, okay, so like most of this episode obviously is McAfee nonsense. And in terms of evidence that's presented, still just all those tweets and then a mysterious conversation that Alex apparently had on the phone with McAfee.
A 100% real conversation that he definitely had.
And all of the conversation about the tweets are misrepresenting them, moving them around in the timeline in order to make things more suspicious.
Yep.
All of this is just total bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And then these blow-ups. Outrageous. He's having a bad day. He's having a real bad day.
It's really pathetic.
It is.
It really is like... When we get past making fun of it, it's so sad.
It is. But hey, man.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's not our fault.
No.
It's not our fault he can't fucking handle his emotional fucking impulses whatsoever.
And honestly, if the conversation that he was having wasn't about how, like, the Pentagon's at war with white Americans.
Yeah, that one's tough.
Like, if that wasn't the subject matter that he's discussing, it would just be straight up hilarious.
Yes, yes, yeah.
That he is this incompetent and lashes out to such an extreme that when there's a technical difficulty,
right.
He yells about how everyone's going to die.
Everyone should be dead.
And maybe we deserve it.
Because we aborted babies.
Yeah.
Ah, baby abortion.
And it's so fun to me to be like living in 2003 on his show as well, because you get the like technical snafus that happen then, and he's just like, hey, who cares?
Hey, we're a ramshackle outfit trying to make it in a tough world.
Yeah, he doesn't descend into these...
Everyone's going to die, and I'm fine with it because I couldn't find
he
a tweet.
He seems to be like an emotional Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
He's aging
he's
backwards.
Regressing. Yeah, he's definitely regressing back into a child.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I'm excited to get back to the past because I have grown weary of McAfee conspiracies.
Oh, yeah?
But it was a fun little dip into the present, and we'll check back in and see how things are going down the line. I wanted to say one thing really quick.
What's
about
that?
The buttons.
Yes.
The button situation.
Mm-hmm.
People like
is that your new ska band?
Yes, the button situation. we're two-tone ska. Skinny suspenders.
The button situation.
Ooh, not bad.
Ah, there we go.
The website or the email address to send addresses to is kfbusiness,
yes,
at gmail.com.
Like you're going to give someone the business.
Right. Yeah. If people send requests to other inboxes, I'll try my best to make sure everything gets taken care of. But that centralizing the point where things are, it would be a huge help.
Yeah.
And then the second thing that I wanted to say is this dawned on me when I was thinking about it. We're not building an email list. We're not saving your emails, not saving your addresses
or
anything.
That didn't even occur to me.
Well, I was thinking about like Roger Stone's weird website. Where,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just want to reassure people that like we're not saving any information or you're not going to be getting any.
Oh, my God.
You're getting a button and that's it.
Yes, that's, is it.
Yeah. I'm sure that most people listening to the show would never even suspect that.
I wouldn't suspect it.
Right, right. But I wanted to reassure people because
oh my God.
I got worried that someone might suspect that.
That is so funny. It never even occurred to me. Despite knowing everyone doing that, it never occurred to me for us to do.
Well, I started to put myself in the position of being someone who would send an email.
Sure.
And one of the things that would cross my mind maybe is I'm going to end up getting spam or something.
Yeah, totally.
And I assure you that will not be something that we're...
No, every time we've done a comedy show and there's been somebody at the door like, give me your email address. We send out free tickets. It's like, oh, I fucking know you guys. Yeah. I can see through your lies.
Yeah, there is a lot of promotional reason to gather those, and we have no interest in that.
If we haven't made it abundantly clear by now, we just don't promote.
But we do have a website.
We do have a website. Oh, also tickets for God's Damn Wizard are on sale. It's on Eventbrite.
You can find the link on
find
Twitter.
Find it on the Twitter. Find it on Facebook, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's Thursday, July 1st at 9 p.m. It'll be a great time. We'll all be there talking and having fun.
Yeah, no autographs.
No autographs.
No,
anyways, our website.
Flash photography.
There will be tons of flash photography.
Fine.
It'll be great.
Fine.
And it'll be recorded. Our website is knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledgefight. I go to Benjamin.
We're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. It's Apple Show, iTunes, Reddit. If you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out people doing God's work.
Yeah, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundis. One time, John McAfee told me on the phone that he was going to eat his own butthole.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.